Welcome into Opportunity Detroit, brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. I'm Ann Thomas, and on this edition, Itori, a popular Detroit market and restaurant, has reopened, and it's bigger and better than ever. We'll talk to General Manager Chris Southern and Colleen Robar. The Gilbert Family Foundation has made another big commitment to Detroit by donating $1.8 million to the greening of Detroit. Darnell Adams, Vice President of Detroit Community Initiatives for the Gilbert Family Foundation, is stopping by to give us the details. And the draft is just around the corner, less than 3 weeks away. Casey Herbeth, Senior Vice President of Brand Experiences and Strategic Partnerships for Rocket Mortgage, will have the scoop on what's planned for the big event. A great show about what's happening in and around the D, coming up right after these messages. Welcome into Opportunity Detroit. I'm Ann Thomas, and to kick off today's show, we are going to talk about the reopening of Itori Market Restaurant and Bar. And to do that with us is Colleen Robar. She is the spokeswoman for Itori. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ann. It's a joy to be here.
So talk a little bit about the history of Itori Market, Colleen.
My pleasure. Now, Itori Market was one of the very first market restaurant hybrids in the city. So on one side, they've got fresh produce and meats and snacks and different things. And on the other side, they started with a very small restaurant and bar that became a neighborhood staple. It started in 2017. And then now, you know, 7 years later, they've moved into the space that was next door that used to be the 10 Nail Bar, and have mostly doubled the size of the seating at Itori.
Wow.
So our restaurant fans and local neighbors are thrilled that we have doubled the size and are still offering the same great food.
Also on the line to talk about Itori Market Restaurant and Bar is General Manager Chris Southern. And Chris, the neighborhood is really going to benefit from this expanded bar and restaurant.
Itori sort of grown with the Capitol Park neighborhood. It was one of the first leases signed sort of after the revitalization of that neighborhood. And so at first it was a little bar with a bodega in the back, and then they added some tables. And then at the beginning of this year, we acquired the 10 Nail Salon space next door and moved our market into there and demoed the entire space. And now we have an 85-seat restaurant that's really beautiful. So we really have just grown with the neighborhood.
You know, Chris, you're leading the effort to expand the Itori Market. Tell us a little bit about this.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very walkable part of Detroit that we're in. And so we have grab-and-go sandwiches and ready-to-eat items. We have good wine shop and beer and sodas and just kind of like everyday grocery needs. Not a full grocery store, but like definitely you could feed your family based on what we have in the market there.
And Colleen Robar, can you expand on this? Because I know people really want a good market in the city of Detroit.
Oh my God, the happy hours already have been full. 3 to 5 p.m. every day, people are filling the bar and taking advantage of some of the discount prices.
Well, it's in Detroit's beautiful Capitol Park area, and that's a hot spot these days for the city of Detroit.
It is. There's lots of other restaurants, though. When we first started, we were one of the lone places to go in that area of Capitol Park. But now, you know, we've got Prime and Proper and all Layla and such in the very near proximity. But we're still the neighborhood vibe, and we love that.
It's fun. You know, Capitol Park is a really beautiful part of the city, especially on days that are the weather's nice. It's, like, really vibrant. There's a lot of people hanging out there. And so it's just a really fun place to be.
So talk a little bit about the food. Mediterranean, right?
Right. Well, we call it modern Mediterranean.
Oh.
And we have an amazing chef, Richard Strong. He came from a variety of country clubs. And both he and our owner, Zach Yatim, have collaborated. And this modern Mediterranean food is a big hit. You know, people used to come to them specifically for the mussels and Mediterranean nachos. And then they had this wonderful sauce that they do on their variation of a shrimp cocktail. They call it fiery shrimp. So combined that with some new menu items. We've got a grilled half rack of lamb, just beautiful, with some baba ganoush, the eggplant, next to it, some sea bass. People are going to be really excited about this Mediterranean flair to the menu. You know, it's very healthy too. You know, nice olive oils, fresh produce, seafood, lambs. You know, Mediterranean diet is something that people continue to look toward.
And it's got a Mediterranean theme. What's the history of that? How did you get to that theme?
The owners are Lebanese. So, you know, it's kind of a, you know, we want to appeal to a lot of different palates, but also we want to be focused towards sort of their heritage as well.
Absolutely. And I know that the market has also been expanded. So let's talk a little bit about that expansion and what you can get at the market.
Well, everyone talks about, oh my gosh, there must be no downtown shopping, or where do you get your groceries? Ettore Market is a wonderful place to get groceries. You can make your whole dinner from the market. There's meats, there's fresh produce. They've got a variety of snacks, nuts, things to really put together a whole meal in that small space. They even have fresh flowers. So it's a fun place and a destination for people to shop.
And I know the market has got a good amount of wine. Are you working with a particular vendor, or how does the wine part of the market work?
We work with, I don't know, 7 or 8 different distributors for the market and for the restaurant. So really just trying to find things that customers want, and we'll find the distributor to get that to us.
And I know there's talk of a brunch service coming soon. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because everybody loves a brunch, don't they?
Me too.
Yes.
There's nothing better than a good brunch. And this will be a good brunch. We're probably about 3 weeks away. We're going to wait till after the draft to get it launched, because we know how busy we're going to be at the end of April. But right after that, we'll be launching our brunch service on Saturdays and Sundays. And we have a fun bar. So it's not only going to be wonderful, egg dishes and souffles and pastries, but you can get a great mimosa, a Bloody Mary, some really fun cocktails. The other day, they were serving espresso martinis. Wow. That would make a really fun addition to an afternoon brunch.
Absolutely. Speaking of the draft, how are they gearing up for the huge crowds that are going to be coming into the city, Colleen Robar?
Oh, my goodness. We are so excited about having the NFL draft in our town and just steps away from the new Ettore Market and restaurant. The draft will be something that I don't think Detroit's ever seen. We're trying to encourage people to make reservations because it just keeps it all a lot more organized. But our bar is a great walk-up spot. So people in town for just a short while, I think we'll frequent that. But we've got, expanded hours and specials and fun things to show off the city.
Speaking of the draft, how are they gearing up for the huge crowds that are going to be coming into the city, Colleen Robar?
Oh, my goodness. We are so excited about having the NFL draft in our town and just steps away from the new Ettore Market and restaurant. The draft will be something that I don't think Detroit's ever seen. We're trying to encourage people to make reservations because it just keeps it all a lot more organized. But our bar is a great walk-up spot. So people in town for just a short while, I think we'll frequent that. But we've got, expanded hours and specials and fun things to show off the city.
Yeah, it sounds like the draft is going to be a thing. There are going to be screens for viewing right in the park there. So our patio will be open. There are some parties and activations yet to be announced, but we'll have some stuff going on. But we'll just be there, for anybody who's enjoying the draft to come see us.
Now, do people need reservations for Ettore, or can they just pop in? What do you recommend for people?
Definitely on the weekend, I would recommend a reservation, but we always take walk-ins if we've got the room. And you can get to there from our website, or you can find us on Resy.
You know, Colleen, you're involved in a lot of different projects and companies that are currently doing business in the city of Detroit. Can you talk a little bit about what you're seeing about the excitement of all of the different events that are coming into the city of Detroit?
I really applaud the NFL because they've tried to work with small businesses and to give Detroit companies some real recognition with all the visitors in town. They've done outreach to the small businesses. I work with the Greening of Detroit. They're even planting trees while they're here and making a real mark in the time that they're in Detroit. It says it's just 3 days, but it sure feels a lot longer than that. So, you know, A-plus to the NFL for thinking about small businesses.
You know, it kind of reminds me of when the Super Bowl came to Detroit and the great improvements that were made to the city before that big event.
Right. And I was even talking with an artist. Her project's still under wraps. But, you know, they thought months ago about hiring her to do something special for the city. That'll be living long past the time that they're here.
Colleen Robar, spokeswoman for Itori Market Restaurant and Bar, thank you so much for your time today. And we also thank General Manager Chris Southern. This is a wonderful place to visit, and it's obvious that people absolutely love this restaurant in Detroit's Capitol Park. Coming up next, a great story about a major investment in the greening of Detroit. We'll be back right after this. You are listening to Opportunity Detroit. Now, the Gilbert Family Foundation has announced a $1.8 million 3-year investment in the greening of Detroit to strengthen the organization's impact in Detroit. And strengthen it, it absolutely will. With us now is Darnell Adams. He is the Vice President of Detroit Community Initiatives for the Gilbert Family Foundation. Really nice to have you on the show, Darnell.
It's an honor. Thank you. Thank you, Anne.
Talk to us about this $1.8 million donation. Just tell us what it's going to do for the greening of Detroit.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll tell you what it is at a high level, and then I would love to dig into the details of it.
Absolutely.
But essentially, this $1.8 million will allow the Greening of Detroit to expand and grow its flagship workforce development program, which is their Detroit Conservation Program. And it also allows for three other initiatives to also scale up. So we're supporting the Shade Salon, which is a great sort of arts and culture platform where residents can really focus on sort of where the intersection of art and science and environmental conservation come together. We're also helping the Greening do what they do already, which is planting more trees across the city of Detroit. And again, the flagship program, which is really essential to growing more tree artisans and landscaping technicians across the city, across the region, which is obviously a very important need for Michigan.
This is a huge investment in the greening of Detroit. Tell our listeners a little bit about the greening of Detroit and why you decided to put this kind of money behind this fantastic nonprofit.
Yeah, absolutely. So, the Greening of Detroit, first I wanted to say a really big shout out to two of our internal team members, J.J. Velez, who's the Director of Public Spaces, and Kayla Chamberlain, who is the Senior Program Manager with the Gilbert Family Foundation, our Public Spaces team. The two of them really leaned in hard and sought out this partnership with the Greening, and it made a lot of sense because I've known the Greening for the last 10, 12 years, working as long ago at the land bank when I was a director over there, understanding what their work is. And they've had such a profound impact on the city of Detroit. And, really what for us at the foundation, it's important to find partners who are doing the right thing and giving them the additional resources that they need to scale up. And so for us, this made a lot of sense because we really, really care about a few things. diversifying the economy of Detroit, making sure that Detroiters have access to opportunities that they otherwise wouldn't have access to, us just skilling up our region as well. And then also for us, this intersects with so many different pillars within the foundation. So because we have a housing pillar, a economic mobility pillar, a public spaces pillar, and our arts and culture pillar, for this investment, this really intersects three of those pillars very neatly. And what I also love about working with the Greening is that, you know, they're taking a bet on Detroiters who otherwise wouldn't have access to these opportunities because of some of the barriers that they experience trying to get employment. You know, sometimes some of these folks coming through the workforce development program are returning citizens who are really trying to come back to Detroit and live the most productive life that they can. And sometimes the limitations of finding employment can be a mentally draining experience. And so we know that Detroit has been gifted a second chance, and it's important that all of its residents can get that second chance too if they need it. So taking big bets on the right, doing the right thing is important, but also taking those big bets on people is important to us too.
Our guest here today on Opportunity Detroit is Darnell Adams. He is the Vice President of Detroit Community Initiatives for the Gilbert Family Foundation. And Darnell, I love the way that you put that, because this organization, the Greening of Detroit, is pretty incredible because it's all about workforce development, but it's also about making Detroit a greener place, creating more open, nice places for people who live and work and play in the city.
That's right.
Now, what about some of the other initiatives? So they do a lot of tree planting. With this money, how many new trees will we see in the city and around the city?
Well, the Greening has a much larger target. Our investment allows them to contribute an additional 1,000 trees to their goal. And I don't know, I think the goal is somewhere between 75 and 100,000 trees. But this will allow them to at least plant 1,000 trees through the dollars that we are providing and with the $1.8 million. So it's important because, you know, with trees being planted, I know a lot of residents, including, you know, myself, my family, we've struggled with the idea of having trees on our property because of what our perception is of damage to infrastructure, et cetera. But in reality, trees are essential to the health of a community. They help to keep the neighborhoods cooler. They act as really like a resilience when during the summer heats, you know, having these nice open spaces is really important to the social fabric of communities too.
And to that point, this shade salon that you mentioned, elaborate on that. What a great idea, and how creative is this?
You know, what I like about the shade salon is that it gives Detroiters an opportunity to be exposed to a pathway, whether it's career or just hobby, where they can come together and have real conversations about how trees and other environmental investments or infrastructures really tie into their communities. It's really about making sure that they are helping to make decisions about how art and environment intersect.
Yes.
And it's important because a neighborhood's culture is made up by the people that live there. And so having that top-down investment where someone comes in and says this is how things should be is not the right way to make any community investment. Having residents have the conversation, identify what their needs are, and then pulling those two pieces together, both art and environment, really helps to strengthen the social fabric, but also makes it a much more inclusive process.
And is that because then residents, Darnell, will feel like they have some say in the development?
Absolutely. That is the best way to get any person to buy into their own space, their own neighborhoods, their own communities, you know, having a hand in deciding what my environment looks like is important to a lot of people, including myself.
The other part of this wonderful program is something called the Tree Keepers Kids. Can you explain mm-hmm. that to us, how that will work? Because that's pretty cool, too.
Yeah, so the Tree Keepers Kids, this investment will help the greening engage with about 140 youth, and they will have almost a curriculum, this immersive environmental curriculum that gives them hands-on learning, exploration related to the natural world, the natural environment. Part of our goal with the greening is that we hope this will inspire the next generation to also be good stewards of their communities and understand the importance of the environment and how it really does do a lot of good for themselves, but also for their neighborhoods and their communities. This is also, when you think about workforce, if you don't know it exists, you don't lean in and sort of try something new. So this is an opportunity where young people will be able to see sort of how this all comes together, but they can see themselves as also tree artisans and landscapers and designers, and that can give them the opportunity to go on and do great things in college or even in urban planning, architecture, et cetera. It's sort of unlimited the amount of exposure that this can create for our youth, which is really, really important because, again, if they don't know it exists, they won't know to lean in.
That's true. You know, this is all part of the Gilbert Family Foundation mission. Talk to us a little bit about that mission.
Yeah, so our mission, we have we're hyper-focused on making sure that every Detroiter who is economically vulnerable and experiencing a housing crisis, whether it's through an eviction or a tax foreclosure, that they are given the resources and tools to stabilize that crisis. But then also, now that they are, you know, they have the mental space to think about what the next move is, we follow up with some additional resources related to economic mobility, whether it is, you know, skilling up, whether it's workforce development. And then at the same time, while all of that's happening, we're making concurrent investments in their neighborhoods so that at the end of the day, once they're economically stable and their housing situation is stable, they can also walk outside their home and see, hey, like, I have the same amenities that any other community has, yes. And I want to be here. I want to stay here and participate in the wealth-building opportunities and the narrative of Detroit, because this is their home, and it's important that the stabilization is holistic and not just isolated to an individual parcel.
And, you know, it's true when organizations like the Gilbert Family Foundation decide to make a major investment in a neighborhood, in a city, it's life-changing for everyone because, to your point, when things start to improve in a neighborhood and people start to feel like they have the same services as others do in other areas, they really respond in a positive way.
And it also... it just continues to strengthen social fabric, social capital for that entire community. Absolutely.
Darnell Adams, the Vice President of Detroit Community Initiatives for the Gilbert Family Foundation. Thank you so much for your time today. It was great to talk to you, and it was really great to talk about this impressive donation, $1.8 million to support the Greening of Detroit initiative.
Thank you, Anne.
Coming up next on Opportunity Detroit, the draft is just around the corner, and Rocket will be right in the middle of the action. We'll find out more in just a few minutes. In just a few weeks, the city of Detroit is going to be entertaining thousands of visitors for the draft. And Rocket Mortgage is going to be right in the middle of all the action. Casey Herbis, Senior Vice President of Brand Experiences and Strategic Partnerships for Rocket Mortgage, welcome into Opportunity Detroit. How are you doing? Are you ready?
Anne, we were born ready, and it feels like, you know, it was a mere almost 2 years ago where the mayor and the commissioner stood right in Campus Martian and announced that the the 2024 NFL draft would be coming to Detroit, and here we are, less than 3 weeks away. I mean, I can see the construction happening right outside my window, and it's we can't wait.
You know, Casey, there's a history here. And you have been involved in this. You have wanted the draft to come to Detroit for a very long time. Talk a little bit about what has gone into this and how you finally got the draft here.
I mean, great question. I mean, it really starts almost 14 years ago, you know, when, you know, our chairman and founder, Dan Gilbert, moved Quicken, now Rocket Companies, to downtown Detroit and asked others to follow. You know, we've been working hard as a company, as an organization, to help bring, you know, big high-profile events to the city of Detroit. And 6 years ago, we started meeting with the Lions and the Detroit Sports Commission about how could we partner together and approach the NFL about bringing what is now a huge Super Bowl-esque, if not bigger, event to the city of Detroit. And those conversations started 6 years ago. And obviously, as I mentioned, 2 years ago, we made the announcement. And it's truly a true testament to the partnership of city, state, private, and, you know, public companies working together to, you know, bring an event to the city of Detroit, which there's going to be over 60 million people watching the draft, you know, 400,000 or 500,000 people in downtown Detroit. It's a great spotlight opportunity for our city to show everyone, you know, who we are and what we've been up to in the great city of Detroit.
Take us backstage, Casey. What goes into planning this kind of an event?
It is mind-boggling, Ann, to be honest with you. I mean, we're doing a lot at Rocket relative to fan engagement and partnership. We've got a really awesome campaign that's about to launch. We're going to be down at the fan experience at Hart Plaza. But above and beyond that, as I mentioned, I'm watching the stage being built right underneath my window now. And, I mean, the meticulous planning that's been happening over the last few years, certainly the city, DDP, Sports Commission, the Mayor's Office, Bedrock, right, our real estate arm. I mean, it is truly a team effort in a village to bring it apart, bringing this all together. And you're seeing those efforts pay off. I mean, I just sat through a three-hour debrief the other day going through everything that's going to be happening in the city during the week of the draft. And I was blown away, and I've been really on the inside for the last couple of years as part of the planning process. So, I think people are going to be just so pleasantly surprised, excited, and, you know, happy to see, you know, what the city is going to be offering for the NFL draft here in a few weeks.
Now, Rocket is sponsoring the NFL draft experience. What is that going to be like in Hart Plaza?
Yeah, and so as everyone knows, and hopefully if they don't, they will know, the NFL draft and attending the NFL draft is free. I've got friends and family hitting me up every day like, hey, how can I get tickets, what have you? I'm like, this is beyond easy, right? You just go, right. You download the NFL One Pass, you register. So to attend the NFL draft is free. So once you're inside the perimeter, you have the ability to see what's happening on the stage. And then going all the way down Woodward, crossing over to Jefferson in Hart Plaza, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, all day, is going to be the NFL experience. So that's where brands like Rocket and Little Caesars and Bud Light and other NFL partners are going to have really fun family-focused, you know, activities that they're going to be able to experience the NFL draft, not only watching the stage, but also at the fan experience. And then obviously that expands above and beyond, you know, out inside the perimeter by, you know, being able to enjoy the neighborhoods and all the activities that are taking place. I've been to the last four NFL drafts, and I really believe this is going to be the best example of how a city in the backdrop and the landscape of the city is utilized to stage the draft. And, It's going to be awesome.
So what goes on in this fan experience? Like, what are some of the things that you could do if you bring the whole family down, Casey Herbis?
Yeah, so when you come down to the NFL experience inside of Hart Plaza, you're going to be able to, for Rocket, we're going to have this amazing dream home. Literally, we're building a home inside of Hart Plaza where you're going to be able to come in, take selfies, play some interactive games, have the chance to win some prizes. Outside of the Rocket Dream Home, you're also going to be, like, Little Caesars is going to be there. They're going to have an experience. Bud Light, Marriott, others, Lowe's. And so it's a chance to do family activities, games. There'll be food and entertainment throughout Hart Plaza, all throughout the activation. So what's awesome about the NFL draft, it's just not for the hardcore football fan.
Right.
It's truly for the family. I know my kids are almost as excited as I am.
I bet they are. This is going to have a huge economic impact on the city of Detroit. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, and as we well know, over the last few years, how many great events are happening now inside the city of Detroit, right? You've got the Grand Prix that, you know, has moved off Belle Isle onto the city of Detroit. This will be our sixth year of the Rocket Mortgage Classic. We just had the NCAA regionals, right? And Purdue and the Tennessee fans, you know, streaming all through the city. We got opening day here tomorrow. I mean, just bringing these types of high-profile events to the city of Detroit helps drive business, right? Business for our shop and business owners, the hotels, bars, and restaurants. And so there's going to be a wide and expansive economic impact, again, not only just within the footprint of the draft, but outside. Because if you leave the perimeter, then you could be in, you know, a Corktown, Midtown, going north up Woodward and, you know, experiencing all the, you know, activities and bars and restaurants and, you know, businesses that are going to be open during the draft. So the economic impact is, you know, very expansive.
When you talk about this footprint, Casey, explain that to our listeners. What exactly does that mean?
Yeah, so for the NFL draft, as I mentioned, which is free, and you register using the NFL One Pass, that gives you access inside the perimeter. So that perimeter is going to be where you would enter right just north of Campus Martius, so right by the Hudson site in Shinola. And that footprint will run all the way down south from Woodward across Jefferson into Hart Plaza. And then the NFL Draft Theater, which is going to be like where the Monroe site is, right? So right near the Cadillac Wall, where we do our Detroit winter and spring activities, right outside the Monroe block is where the NFL stage is going to be. And then obviously Campus Martius, right in the center of that. So that is what we are considering, the NFL draft perimeter, if you will, that you have access to with the NFL One Pass.
And how are you feeling just a few weeks out? Do you feel like you're ready? Do you feel overwhelmed? Are you good to go? What's your feeling right now, Casey Herbis?
Yes, yes, and yes. Excited, nervous. Let's be honest, it's the first time the NFL draft has come to the city of Detroit,
good
right?
Point.
And so I've been to Vegas, I was in Cleveland, I was in Kansas City last year, so we saw how those cities did it. And I will tell you, what the world and is going to see here in a few weeks is going to be very Detroit-esque, meaning we're using the backdrop of the city. You know, it's in the heart of the city. Mayor Dugdon the other day in his press conference said the easy decision would have had to put the draft somewhere else, maybe out in an area that was a little more, we'll call it wide open, a Belle
sure.
Isle,
right.
Out in Corktown, you know, wherever it might be. And we decided, because we wanted to show off the city and all the great things that are happening in our community, and what a better way to do it than have it right in the heart of, you know, the shadows of certainly Rocket and, you know, all of our other great buildings and experiences that our fans can enjoy here in a few weeks.
Now, I've been watching you for a long time with regard to your involvement with the Grand Prix and also the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Do you think your experience with all of these other big events in the city of Detroit are helping right now, Casey Herbis, with the planning?
I think it certainly does, Ann. I mean, you know, the move from the Grand Prix from Belle Isle to downtown Detroit last year, I thought, I went as a fan and also as a sponsor, was a resounding success. We're now in our sixth year of the Rocket Mortgage Classic. We quite honestly didn't know what we were doing year one, and we've learned every single year. So I think the experiences that, you know, brands and the sports commission and the mayor's office now have with staging these events inside the city give us that continued confidence to put on even a bigger event like the NFL draft is going to be. And think about it, right? We're going to have the NCAA Final Four here in a few years.
Right.
But that, you know, you take those building blocks and just continue to expand, you know, great opportunities for the city and for our fans.
So to this point of building blocks, how does it feel in 2024 to be seeing all of this development, all of these big events coming into Detroit? You've worked very hard for a very long time on this. How are you feeling now to see it come to fruition?
I've been blessed enough, Ann, to be part of Rocket Companies and working with, you know, for Dan Gilbert for 7 years. And I've seen so much change in these 7 years. And where you hear the narrative changing is when you're out on the road. And, you know, now as we bring more and more people to the city of Detroit, and you think about the NFL draft is, I mean, it's not just going to be Detroit residents. It's going to be from all over the country, right? Every team will be represented here. And now when you leave the city of Detroit and you tell people you're from Detroit or what's, you know, now the narrative is spread out in which people aren't just, you know, maybe seen it, they've experienced it. And they've, or they've heard from their friends and family, all the great things are happening in the city. So, I mean, that's an immeasurable effect that putting on large-scale events in the city of Detroit has, not only for our community and the economic impact, but outside of the city when people, you know, are learning about what's happening in our great city.
And, you know, Casey, as a family man, as a dad, let's get personal for a minute here. What is your advice about bringing the family into town? What are you going to do? How would you do this?
Yeah, so I'll tell you my plan, Ann. I'll be down here all week, and my son's got school, and so he'll be joining me Friday, Saturday, and Sunday
sure.
after school.
Right.
And you know, we're going to be—I got myself a hotel room, and we're going to stay here downtown Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as a family, and it's going to be great. You know, the mayor shared the other day at the press conference. It's just like the fireworks. Every police officer, there are no vacations. Overtime is going to be abundant. And, you know, we are going to work, you know, to our utmost ability to make sure that everything is safe and healthy for, you know, the hundreds of thousands of fans that are going to be descending upon downtown Detroit. So I know it's going to be awesome. Now we just have to keep, you know, beating our drums and looking up to the sky and hoping that we have beautiful April weather. You know, we know mid to late April can always be a little dicey.
Yes.
But we're going to be hoping for beautiful spring weather here in downtown Detroit.
You know, it seems to me like the smart play might be to plan on parking. If you don't stay downtown like you're going to do, maybe park a little bit further out and try to plan on a little bit of a walk just to kind of stay out of the middle of things with regard to traffic.
Yeah, there are going to be a lot of road closures, and we've been really showing on like the Visit Detroit websites and anywhere that has NFL draft information. There will be a number of road closures, particularly down here in the downtown business district.
Sure,
but you're right, Ann. I mean, if I were not staying in the hotel room, and I was coming down as a fan, right, and maybe I don't have parking access to a building, I would probably park like out in Midtown, right, and you can jump on the Q line and bring the Q line down. There'll be city bus transportation. You know, the city and the sports commission has worked very, very hard to make sure that everything is accessible, and that means also accessible from being able to park and, you know, to safely and, you know, conveniently make your way down to the heart of the NFL draft area.
Yeah, that's great advice. Casey Herbis, Senior Vice President of Brand Experiences and Strategic Partnerships for Rocket Mortgage. We really appreciate your time today, and we are really excited for this to get going.
So am I, and thank you so much for all of your support, and we'll look forward to seeing everyone down here April 25th to 27th.
And I'm Ann Thomas. Thank you for listening to Opportunity Detroit. Enjoy the rest of your day.